Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Peches. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, a number of yotzeis that I just got in now. They're already a couple of days over. For Sydney Davidson, for Charlotte Meister, and for Sarah Marcus. And today is the yotzeit of Rabbi Elias Lauer. That's Avi Lauer, his father. All the shalms we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, in yesterday's share, we had discussed the idea of an Eid Echad being Neman, the woman whose husband went, Medina Sayami, went on a business trip, he went on some trip overseas, and was then told by a single witness that, in fact, he had passed away. And our Mishnah had discussed about whether the woman, if she remarries, and then her husband comes back, under what circumstances and what types of situations would that woman not be allowed to return to her first husband, and certainly wouldn't be allowed to stay married to her second husband, which the marriage really wasn't chal. And we discussed what's the Torah source, what's the Doraisa source, a biblical source for this din that Eid Echad is Neman, and we tried to bring down a certain pasuk to prove this, but we said, no, that can't be the source. So we pick up the Gemara today, five lines from the top, Peches of an Aleph, and saying, yes, you're right, there is no pasuk that shows us El Svarahi. This is a rational, logical argument that an Eid Echad should be Neman. From the following, Midi Dahave Achaticha Sofek Shochelev Sofek Shoshuman. This is analogous to a situation where there was a piece of meat that was a question, there was a suffix, whether it was chaylev, which is, of course, prohibited to be eaten, is punishable by karis if you would eat it intentionally, and you bring a chatos if you ate it unintentionally, versus a piece of meat that was a suffix shel shuman. Shuman is permissible fats, so you have a piece of meat here, a single piece of meat, and we don't know whether it was shuman, which is permissible, or, in fact, it was chaylev, which would be a chi of karis if you ate it intentionally. And what happens? The also Eid Echad, a single witness comes along, the Omer, and he states, Baridli the Shumano. So the single witness comes along and says, yes, this is a piece of permissible meat, and no problem, you're allowed to eat it, and the Mehemet, and we believe him. Now, as Rashi points out of it, you have to believe him, because otherwise, as Rashi points out, 2 months on top, in Dibra Maso, the Omer, Baridli the Shumano, the Mehemet, that he's believed, because Vahavadai Pshitalon, the Samchin and the Lay. Of course you have to listen to this person and you can trust him, because Kol Zman Shelo Nechshad, as long as this person doesn't have a suspicion about him that he's not reliable, he hasn't lost his cheskes kashus, because otherwise, if you didn't believe him, then how would you ever eat by anybody? Nobody would ever be allowed to eat. You go to your friend's house, and your friend says, yeah, I bought the food from a kosher store. How are you allowed to believe him? So how could a person ever trust his wife? How could a person ever trust the husband to say, yes, that this is kosher food? So obviously, it's a svara. And here you see it, that the person is believed to say that this meat, which we didn't know, was chaylev or shuman, he's believed to say that it's shuman. So too, this single Eid Echad is believed to say that the woman's husband Nebuch passed away. Gemara says, no, that's not analogous, that's not a good comparison. Me dummy, how can you tell us that those two cases are comparable? Hasam, in the case of the chaticha, maybe it's safi shechaylev, safi shechuman, lo ischazek isura, it never was established that it was usur. So therefore, the Eid Echad is believed in that situation. However, in our case, this woman was an Eishes Ish. Her husband went off on a trip, Limedina Sayam. So she is definitely also to every other single man in the entire world. So Ischazik Isura. So therefore, if you have Ischazik Isura, the Eishes Ish, that she is in fact a married woman, and therefore you can't go and believe in a single witness to say that she is not any longer a married woman, that she's Rechon al-Slan, now a widow, that her husband passed away. That's point number one, to say that the two cases aren't analogous. The way many of the Mefarshim understand it, now we're saying a separate reason, the Endover should be ever a Pachos Mishnayim. And likewise, you never have a situation where in dealing with a prohibited relationship, that it's a Dover Sheba Erva, so you never have less than two people. You need to have two witnesses. And this is based upon Xavier Shava, Dover Dover, that teaches us that you must have two witnesses. In any event, this is therefore not going to be a good svara to say that, just like we believe the person when there's a case of sofik chelov, sofik shel shuman, that we believe the person to say that it's in fact shuman. So you can't say that that's analogous to our case, that we should believe the man to say, the single witness to say, that the husband or the woman died. And in fact, I'll show you that that's correct, this idea that this is not a good proof. I'll show you that that's correct, holodamia, because if you wanted to compare the case of the meat, the suffix situation with the meat, to the case of our situation, that the woman husband was passed away based upon the the single witness. So halodamia el chaticha devadei chaylev. This would be a situation where we have a piece of meat that we know for a fact is chaylev, and then along comes a witness. We also ate echol v'yomar barili l'shulman haba, and this witness comes along and changes our yediyah, and he says, no, this piece is not chaylev. This piece, which you think is vadei chaylev, is in fact shulman the lo mehem, and we don't believe him in that situation. That's analogous to our case where the woman is vadei and eish is eish. So if a single witness should come along, it should be just like case of the definite chaylev. The single witness comes along and doesn't change it around. So therefore, that's a further nail in the coffin over here to say that this is not a good svara. The Gemara says, however, if this was your only reasoning, this last svara, to say that if we had a case of vadei chaylev, that we wouldn't believe the witness, so therefore, don't believe the witness when the witness comes and says that the woman's husband passed away in the Medina Sayyam, she says that that's not a good slugging it up. Why? Because midami, those two cases are comparable. Why? Hasam, in the situation where there's vadei chaylev, and the witness comes along and says, no, this is Shuman, we don't believe him. You know what? We wouldn't believe 100 witnesses. Hasam afilu asu bei meya. Even if 100 witnesses came along, lo mehemne, we wouldn't believe them. Because once you've established that this is, in fact, a piece of chaylev, it's prohibited. What are the witnesses coming along? They didn't do anything to it. They didn't change it. They didn't sprinkle water on it and say, now it's no longer chaylev. It is a piece of chaylev. 100 witnesses can't change the fact that it's a piece of chaylev. If we have a yediyas that it is chaylev, so witnesses can't come and change that. So therefore, that's why the single witness isn't believed, because even 100 witnesses wouldn't be believed. However, in our case, where the witness comes along and says that the woman's husband passed away, and the men say, I'm a single witness, ha-ha. In this situation, kivon dechi asu bei trei mehemne, if two witnesses came and said, yes, the husband passed away, so that we would believe the two witnesses, even though it was this chazik yisura, the witnesses have the ability to change that because the person could die. So therefore, the witness could be believed. So therefore, just like we believe two witnesses, so therefore, one could make the logical argument that we should believe one witness as well. So therefore, the case of the woman's husband is different. That status could change. The status of the chaylev beat can't change. It was chaylev. It's always going to be chaylev. You can't change it. But the woman's status of being a married woman, never, that does change. Her husband could die. So therefore, the two cases aren't analogous. So Gemara says, if you were going to go and give us a svara, it would be for the following. This should be analogous to the situation that we believe a single witness in regards to Tevel, Hektish, and Konamos. Now, what are these three things? The Gemara will tell us right now what they are. So the Gemara says, why is this a good proof that you're telling me that we believe a single witness in regards to Tevel, Hektish, and Konamos? The Gemara is eventually going to say, no, this needs to be proven that we believe a single witness. It's not. You can't use this as a proof. This is going to be the same question. How do you know that we would believe a single witness in each of these cases? And the Gemara goes through each of these three cases. Again, Tevel is when you haven't taken off the appropriate trumas and maestros. Hektish is when a person was mocked or something. And Konamos was when a person said, this should be upon me. It makes an ad that this should be upon me like a carbon. The koname is the lashon that we use. Instead of the word carbon, they use the word koname, and it turns this item essentially into a dover that's also to you via neder. So how do we know, the Gemara is going to say, that a single witness is believed from these three cases? The Gemara is going to question this. How are you going to prove to me that a single witness is believed in regards to tevel, that we should believe a single witness in regards to the eishes ish? So the Gemara says, Ididei, if you're telling me that this was this own person's tevel, and he says this is not tevel, so the Gemara says, we believe him, Mishum Diyadol Desatno. You know why we believe him? Because if he wanted to, he could take off Trumas and Maisos. So therefore, he could correct this and make it no longer Tevel. So we believe him when he says, I already did this and it's not Tevel. You're going to tell me, El Diacher, it's somebody else's produce that he doesn't have the ability to go and be Misaki. And the Gemara says, no, he does have the ability to be Misaki. Maika Sovar, it depends. If you're going to tell me, Iko Sovar, Torah, Mishalo, Ashok Haveiro, that a person has the right to go and separate the Trumas and Maisos from his friend's produce, even without his friend giving permission, because he's doing a Torah for the friend, and therefore he's taking from his own produce and being Torah Trumas and Maisos on his friend's, and he doesn't need the friend's permission to do so. So if you're going to say that that's the case, then Mishum Diyadol Sakto. So the reason to believe the Eidechel in this situation, that it's not Tevel, is because he has the right to be Misakin it. Again, whenever you have the right to change it, so then we believe you. But, and here's the question, how can you tell me the Tevel is a proof that we believe in Eid Echad, because of our Tzarek Das Balim, if you're going to tell me that we believe him because you need the Das Balim, and therefore he is able to save Omar, he says, I know for a fact, the Masakin, that my friend over here was misakin this, and it's not tevel anymore, so then why do we believe him? That's the exact kasha. He gufa minolan. So you can't bring this as a raya. We would ask the same question. How do we know that we believe the single witness to say that he knows for a fact that the friend was misakin the trumas of Isis on this tevel, and it's no longer tevel? Why would we believe him? So you can't bring me a raya. Oh, you see that we believe him. We ask the same question. How do we know that we believe him in that situation? So that's not a good proof. And likewise with hektish. Hektish nami, the same thing applies with hektish. Why do we believe the person, the eidecha, to say that this is not hektish? So if he says, I kedushas domim, it only had kedushas domim, and therefore it has monetary value, but it doesn't have kedushas aguf. Kedushas aguf can't be redeemed unless it gets a mum. So there's no potential for him to correct it. But if it's kedushas domim, so it was owned by hektish, so he says it's not owned by Hektish. You know why we believe him? Mishum debiyad liftoso. Because guess what? He could have redeemed it from Hektish. It's Kedushas Domim, and Kedushas Domim can always be redeemed. Hektish owns a chair, so you're allowed to buy the chair from Hektish and redeem it in that way. The money that you pay for it will now be Hektish, and the chair becomes chulin. So that's why I believe, because biyado liftoso. He has the ability to go and change the status. So therefore, since he has the ability to change it, we believe him. He says that it's changed. I Kedushas Aguf. However, if you're telling me it actually has Kedushas Aguf, and therefore, there's no way to redeem it, so how could he be misakin it? Oh, from the fact that we believe him in regards to the statement that the Eid Echad makes that it's not hektish, so if it's Kedushas Aguf and we believe him, so one says, no, that's not a proof either, because Eid Day, if it was his own Kedushas Aguf, he himself made it Kedushas Aguf, so then, how did he do that? He says, I hereby declare that it's hektish, but then he can go be shoel on that and uproot it retroactively by Sha'ila. He can go ask a Talmud Chacham and say, I'm sorry that I did this, and Talmud Chacham will say, I'm made for your making it into Hektish. And therefore, Mishum Debiyado, Lis Shule Ale, since he could go and change its status of Hektish, that's why he's believed. We believe the person, because it's basically a Pesha also, Pesha Hiter. I was the one that says that it was Hektish, but I'm also now the one that's telling you that it's not Hektish. So that's why we believe him. But you can't bring me a Raya that we always believe in Eid Echad. Are you going to tell me that it's not his, it's his friend's? Elo the Acher, and he's saying, oh, my friend made it hektish, but then, you know what my friend did? The Omar Yadanebe, the Itchel, Mori Alek, that he also asked Sheila on it, and he was made for his original designation of that as hektish, and I know that for a fact, and therefore believe me. So Gemara says, again, that's the same question. He gufa minolan. You're bringing this as a raya, but how do you know that that's true? How do you know that we, in fact, believe him in this situation? So hektish can't be the proof, because we ask the same question. How do you know that that's acceptable? Are you going to bring the raya from Konamos? It's the same exact situation by Konamos. The person says, Konim alai, I make this object to me like a Konim. It should be like a carbon, and therefore it should be Aser. So Konamos nami. You can't bring me a raya that we believe in Eid Echad from Konamos. Why is that? Because, again, if you're going to tell me Ikasavi Yesh Me'ila be Konamos, then in fact there is a concept of Me'ila by a Konim. When I made something via Neder to be Aser, and then I go and take that and use it, then I'm over Me'ila. If you hold like that opinion, and Ukdusha's Domim Nochas Alahu, and it only can have the status of Kedusha's Domim in this situation. It wouldn't have the status of Kedusha's Aguf. He can't bring this as a carbon if he makes a Konim out of it. So therefore, in this situation, again, Mishum Debiyadu Liftoso, he could go and redeem it. Yes, I made this into Hektish. I said that this should be like Hektish, and now I'm redeeming it. So therefore, that's why he's believed, because, again, it's within his power to correct it. Mishum Debiyadu Liftoso, that's Biyadu Lisakno. Are you going to tell me, even if you hold Vikasava Eni Ila Bekonamos, there is no concept of Mila Bekonamos? Ah, it's just an Isser Lav. The Isser Biyamahu, the Roch of Luachasve, where he essentially just gives it an Isser Lav on it, but it doesn't turn it into Hektish. So then, if it's his own, Edi Day, he was the one that made it Osir. So even though it's not Mila over here, but he has the ability to go and change it. He can go and do Hafaras Nedarim. Mishum Dibyado Lishtule Alei. He can go and do Hataras Nedarim. And this Hataras Nedarim, he can go and ask Shayla on his Neder. And therefore, it can lose its status as being a Konam by that. So therefore, Biyado Lisakno. I can tell me El Diacher, it's his friends. So that's the situation where he says, oh, I know Yadana, the Ishul Mori Alei. I know my friend was Shoal on it. And therefore, it doesn't have status to be a Konam anymore. So again, you can't bring me a Rife in there. Again, he goofed me nolan. How do you know? So in all three of these cases, in the situation of Tevel, Hektish, and Konamos, where we're trying to bring a riot in Eid Echad is Nemon, we ask the same question on each of them. How do you know that the Eid Echad is Nemon? You're telling me Eid Echad is Nemon, but how do we know it? What's the Svara? So Gemara says, you're right. We actually cannot prove it from those sources. Ella, you know where we prove it from? Amar of Zerah, mitoch chomer sheikh marto olea besofa. This is what an idea that I mentioned already previously, and that is, why do we believe in Eid Echad by telling us that the woman's husband passed away in the Medina Sayam, why do we believe him? The woman's allowed to remarry based upon that? Because of the principle of a woman will have to go and be daika uminsava. She's only allowed to go and get married based on the testimony of the Seyed Echad, because we are so machmir with her that Rachmana Litzlan, she went and got married based upon this Eid Echad, and she didn't check it out sufficiently. She wasn't adequately daika, and then Mintzava, she got married without really checking it out. Boy, oh boy, she got the tzaris. She's in a lot of trouble over here, because she's going to lose her ketubah, she's going to lose both her husbands, she's going to lose everything. So therefore, in this situation, because mitoch homer she'achmar to lebesofa, since we are so strong in punishing her, if she didn't check it out real well, there's such a strength over here of chumrah, at the end, if she didn't go and check it out, therefore we're makel on her at the beginning, and we allow her to trust the witness, the single witness. The Chacham have the power over here. The whole kiddushin is based upon hefker, based in hefker. That when a person says harat mukdeshli kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, so it's based upon the fact that the rabbis agree to this, and retroactively in this situation, the rabbi saying we're going to believe this Eid Echad and essentially disallow the kiddushin to have occurred. That's one understanding of this, how the basin has the power to go and allow a single witness to go and uproot the Kedushin over here. So it's essentially that the Kedushin is uprooted for other reasons, and basin is given the power to do so. But since this is such a cool law, they attach such unbelievable strength to the punishment if, in fact, she wasn't daika or mensava adequately. You know, she's not a Risha, she's not a terrible woman. She checked it out, but she should have checked it out better to make 1,000% sure that Nebuch, her husband, really was dead, so she didn't go get married again. So the Gemara says, Mishum, Mitoch, Chomer, Shechmar, Tulev, Sofa, since we were so strict on her, these punishments in our Mishnah are very strict, that he loses both husbands, so therefore, since we're so strict at the end, that's why the rabbis were Hekalto, Lebetchila, they were lenient up front to accept even an Eid Echad. That's why Eid Echad is Neman in this situation, to say that her husband passed away in the Bedina Sayam. So don't be so machmir at the end, and don't be mekel at the beginning. Lo lichmir, don't be machmir at the end, lo lekel, and don't be mekel at the beginning. Say, you need two witnesses, end of the discussion. Someone says, no, the rabbis were very concerned. Mishum iguna, the rabbis were concerned that this woman is finally found one witness that came back from the Medina Sayam. They didn't know where her husband was. And finally, one witness comes back. It's a war-torn area. It's a difficult journey. And they're never going to get other witnesses to come from there. This poor woman's going to be an aguna. An aguna means a woman who's chained, a woman who's bonded. She's locked up forever. And therefore, the rabbis were very concerned. This woman, she's never going to get married again. So we allowed her to believe the single witness. However, that's why they were so machmi. They said, you better go and check it out. And if Rachmana Lassani, you don't check it out well, and it turns out that you got married when you're still in Eishes Ish, boy, oh boy, you are in trouble. And that's why Mishum Iguna, because of this concept of we don't want a woman to be an Aguna, that's why the rabbis were makel up front to allow a single witness, but again, that's why they put in the teeth at the end in case she wasn't so careful. We find throughout our history that the rabbis went out of their way, especially with the Shoah, there were so many questions, Nebuch, about people that were married and they didn't have any knowledge about the husband dying. So the great Rabbanim spent days and days and days trying to find a halachically acceptable heter to permit a woman who was an aguna to be married, and what witnesses would be relied upon, what testimony would be relied upon. And Nebuch, we saw the same thing in 9/11. There were Jewish people, Nebuch, we didn't find their bodies. They were in the building. And there were a number of cases that came to Beis Din, and they used DNA evidence, sometimes with other circumstantial evidence, to do everything possible to permit an aguna to get remarried again. Rachmana Lassan, we shouldn't know this. Ella lahagdil Torah ulahadira. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Teitzei mizeh mizeh v'chulei." That we said, Rachmana Lassan, if in fact the woman got married when she still was in Eishes Ish, so then she's in the tzaris, as we just said, and in fact she's not allowed to go and stay married to the second husband, because that's not really even a marriage. She's still in Eishes Ish, but she is considered, and she's not allowed to stay married to her first husband. She's considered as a woman who committed adultery, even though, again, she's not a promiscuous woman. We're not saying that she's committed adultery intentionally, but she's not considered to be a shogeg in this situation, and therefore permitted to her husband, when she only got married on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and therefore she wasn't daiko minsava adequately, and therefore she is given a knas, teitzei mizeh umizeh. So Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav says, that was only said, as we've already learned, lo shonu ela shenisis be'ed echad. That was only in the situation where we gave her a special dispensation to get married based upon the testimony of an Eid Echad, so therefore there were all these consequences put into place. However, abol nisis, if she got remarried, apishnei edim, that there were two witnesses that came that your husband died, so we always trust two witnesses, and therefore lo teitzei. There, she is truly considered a shogeg, I guess, in that sense that she had committed unintentionally adultery, and therefore she thought she was permitted to her new husband. She wasn't, but she's not considered an adulteress. It's not considered onus, as we pointed out yesterday for Mashi, because she should have been daika, she should have been checking it out better. But at the same time, it doesn't even reach the level of an intentional adultery in any way, and therefore she's still permitted to her first husband. That's what Rav said. Alanisis alpishnei edim lo tate. So she doesn't go out for her first husband. That's what Rav meant. But they misunderstood this. They thought that Rav meant that she doesn't go out from her second husband. When it said, Avonisis alpishnei edim lo tate, that she doesn't go out, they thought that he meant from her second husband, and they laughed at this. In Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at this, because they said, how could this possibly be in the situation where also Gavra Vikoi, her first husband, comes back, he's standing right in front of us, Vi'at Amris lo tate, and you, Rav, are saying, no, it's okay, you're not an Eishes Ish anymore. Just because the witness has made a mistake, she's not an Eishes Ish. So they didn't understand that. So Gemara says, what Rav said was lo tzricha de lo yadinale. The way they first understood Rav was when Rav said that she doesn't have to leave her new husband, that's because this person who claimed to be her husband returning from the Minyan Sayam wasn't recognized by anybody. And therefore, the woman has the right to stay with her new husband because there are two witnesses that say that, in fact, her first husband is dead, and this guy is an imposter. And therefore, since the Lo Yadinale, they didn't know that he was, in fact, her husband. They had no proof that he was her husband, so therefore, she's allowed to stay married to the new husband. Morse says, wait a second, Id Lo Yadinale, Bein Echod Amai Teitze. So then, if we don't believe that this is really her husband, so then why is it only with two witnesses that Lo Teitze? It should be even with one witness, again, should be Lo Teitze. But that's not what Rav said. Rav said that when she got married, based upon the testimony of one witness, she would have to be Teitze. But why not, if we don't believe that this is her husband? So Gemara says, no. What did Rav mean? Rav meant, lo tzricha, the difference between having one witness come and say that the husband died, and two witnesses come and saying that the husband died, where we don't believe this man who comes back to say that he's the husband, in the case of two witnesses, but we do believe if there's a case of one witness, he says, no. Lo tzricha, de osu betrei, here we're talking about that we have two witnesses that testify that this man is her husband. How do they know that? We're saying we don't think he's her husband. So, Anan Havinam Ba'adei, these two witnesses say we were with this supposed dead husband. We were with him the entire time. You're saying that it's not him, but we were with him the entire time. Miki Nofak Biat Hashta, from the time that he left to the Medina Sayam. We traveled with him. We were the business associates, so we traveled with him to the Medina Sayam. And we were with him the entire time that he was away until he comes back now. And you, Ba'atun, who de lo yadisule, you don't recognize him, but we were with him the whole time, and we know that he changed. He was away for 5 years, and he changed. He grew a beard, he gained weight, he did some other things to change his appearance. So we know for a fact, because we were with him the whole time, that this is him. But you're saying, well, wow, in 5 years, look how much he's changed. He gained weight, he changed his appearance in some way, and we don't recognize him. But the witnesses say, we do recognize him. So when you're dealing with two witnesses against one witness, so the one witness said that the husband died, but now you have two witnesses that are saying that the husband's not dead, so therefore Rav said Teitze. But when you're dealing with two witnesses over here that said that this is the husband, and two other witnesses says that the husband died, so then the woman doesn't have to be Teitze from her new husband in that situation. Now where do we see the idea that a person can change his appearance and not be recognized? So that's from Yosef HaTzadik. They'll say, Vayaka Yosef is Echov, Veheim lo hikiru. That Yosef recognized his brothers, but he had went away when he was a 17-year-old boy, and now he's a 30-year-old man, and he looked totally different. He had a beard. As the Gemara tells us, Yom Rechista, Malamish Yosef lo chasim azokon, uvav chasim azokon. When he was a 17-year-old boy, he didn't have a lot of facial hair. Now he has a full, big beard. So therefore, they didn't recognize Yosef, but Yosef recognized them. And therefore, you see that a person, when he leaves for a while, may not be recognizable to everybody. So therefore, when there are two witnesses to say that the husband had died, so then we're allowed to ignore these other two witnesses that say that this is the husband. And since we don't recognize that it's the husband, we're allowed to go and stay, let the woman stay married to her new husband. But if it's only one witness, so then two against one. You have two kosher witnesses against the one witness. So in this situation, we believe the two witnesses, and the woman has to be teitze from her new husband, even though we don't independently recognize that this is her husband. The Gemara still questions this and says, sof, bottom line is, it's trei against trei. Trei u'trei ninu. So why do we believe the first pair of witnesses to say that the husband died, and we don't believe the second pair of witnesses to say this is the husband? After all, it's two witnesses against two witnesses, so why do we leave one more than the other? So we turn to Peches and Mubeis, and we add, how can you say that they should stay together, because we should listen to the two witnesses say that the husband died, every time she's now going to have relations with her new husband, maybe she's a Nation East, maybe she's not a Nation East. How can we determine which set of witnesses is correct? Somebody's obviously mistaken. Either the husband is dead or the husband is alive. So in this situation, it's a sofek chatas if she were to have relations unintentionally with a man. So it's a chi of kares or it's a chi of misa. So then she would in fact be chayv a karban chatas if she did this unintentionally. And when you're not sure if you did a isser or not, that was a karban chatas chiv, if you did it definitely, so then you bring an oshim toli to hold things in abeyance until you find out and determine, did she or he do in fact an isser? So therefore, in this situation, how can you say that they should stay married every single time they're going to stay married and have relations with each other? They'd be chayv in oshim toli. So one says, Amar Rishayish. Rishayish says, no. You know why there's no problem over here? And we believe the two witnesses say that the husband died, and we don't need to take into consideration two witnesses say, no, this is the husband, when they don't have any idea that this is the husband. So Rishayish says, she married one of these two witnesses that said your husband died. And therefore, this witness, he's a bari, he's an absolutely certain. He says, I know your husband is dead. I saw him dead. So therefore, for him, there's no consideration of an Oshim Tali or a Chatos, because he's saying, I know for a fact that this is permissible. So therefore, he has no concern about an Oshim Tali. One says, well, what about her? He goofed be Oshim Tali Kaiba. How does she know? She doesn't have absolute idea. So the Gemara says, yes, she does. Biomer is barely, where she says, I know for a fact that this man is not my husband. How could she know that for a fact? So Rashi and Kesubas explains more in detail, and he says that the woman knows, her heart's telling her, this is not my husband. There are always things between a husband and a wife that you can determine and say only a husband and wife would know that. And she's saying, I know for a fact this is not my husband. This is the same understanding. How can a blind woman or a blind man have relations with their wife? Maybe it's not their wife. Maybe it's not the husband. So the Gemara says, because you know, the blind person knows that this is my spouse. And therefore, it's bari, it's certain. So too, this woman says, I'm absolutely certain there's some sin and there's some knowledge over here that I know for a fact that this man's not my husband. So the witness knows it's not her husband, and she married that witness. And she knows it's not her husband. So therefore, neither of them has a concern about an Oshim Toloi or a Chatos. And therefore, that's why in this situation, we believe the two witnesses that said that the husband died, because one of them is marrying her, so he's a bari, and she says bari li also that it's not my husband, and that's why she's allowed to stay married, Rav said, to the second husband. Gemara says, if that's true, ihachi, ma'alameber. So then what's the chiddush of Rav? After all, we already have this as a machlokas elsewhere, where we clearly paskin this way. So why is Rav and Amora telling us what's already learned in a Tanoic source? Because afilu Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, this machlokas that we're going to see between the Chacham and Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Yossi already has been answered exactly like Rav said. So why would Rav add what is already a machlokas Tanoim? So even Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, who said, lo kamar elok shabo edim, the achakach nisis, we'll see in a moment that it's our case over here, we're talking about that the woman got married after the Edom came. So in that situation, Rabbi Nachman Yossi says that we go and believe the witnesses and we force the woman to get divorced because she got married afterwards, even when it was one of the Edom himself that she got married to. But even Rabbi Nachman Yossi says, Avol Nises, if she first got married and the Achakach Bo Edom, and only afterwards did Edom come and say that this is the husband, so that in that situation, even Rav Nachman Rav Yossi says she wouldn't have to leave her new husband, Lo Amar. What is this case? It's a braisa. It's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Nachman Rav Yossi. So again, why would Rav be telling us what is a well-known machlokas? And what is this braisa? Shnayim omrim meiz, v'shnayim omrim lo meiz. There are two witnesses that come and say that the husband passed away. But then there are two other witnesses say, no, this is the husband over here. He didn't pass away. Or shnayim omrim niskarsha and shnayim omrim lo niskarsha. What a case where it's divorced. Two witnesses come and say, yes, this husband divorced her. And then two other witnesses say, no, the husband didn't divorce her. So in this situation, l'chatchila harei zu lo tinose. If she's not married yet, we don't allow her to get married. But v'imnises lo teitze. But bottom line is, if she did get married, even though she didn't listen to us, so in this situation, we believe the two witnesses that say that she either was a widow or that she was a divorcee, and we don't make her leave her husband. That's the opinion of Chachamim. And along comes Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Nachman Yossi Omar, he says, Teitze, no, we don't allow her to stay married because we have the two witnesses that say that her husband is still her husband. And where did he say this? Only in the situation. Omar Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, Amos and Omer, Teitze, under what circumstances does Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi say that she has to leave? That's only Bizman Shabo Eidim, if the Eidim first came before she got married. And then only afterwards, Yachakach Nisus. Then he says, no, you shouldn't have gotten married. But even Rav Nachman Yossi agrees, Avon Nisus, Yachakach Boedim. If she first got married and only subsequently did the two witnesses come and say, hey, your husband's still alive, or your husband never divorced you, in that situation, even Rav Nachman Yossi is molded to the Chachamim, Harezu Lo Teitze, that she doesn't have to leave her new husband. So therefore, Rav is telling us a din that it's Muskam Lakol. Every town agrees to it, even Rav Nachman Yossi. So why is Rav telling it to us? So Gemara says, no. Ki kama Rav, when Rav told us this din, Nami bizman shebo Edim yachak nisus. He's exactly talking about a case where the Edim came first and only afterwards she get married. And what Rav is coming to teach us is lafuki with Rav Nachman Rav Yossi. He's saying that we pass like the Chachamim and not like Rabbi Nachman Rav Yossi. That's the Chiddush of Rav. He's telling us how to paskin. Alternatively, Ikod di Amar, now I don't know why it says Ikod di Amar, it should say the Ikod di Amri, that's the normal Lashon. In any event, there's another way to understand this, that Taima, the Nisais, what Rav is passing, he's telling us the halacha is like Rav Nachman Yossi. Taima, the reason is that Rav said that she's not mechuyev to be teitze is only because she first got married, the Nisais, and only afterwards, v'achakach bo edim, and only afterwards the edim come, and in that situation, Rav Nachman Yossi says, I agree that she's not teitze. But Abubo Edim, if the Edim first came and only afterwards she got married, Yachakach Nisais, then in fact Rav holds Teitze exactly like Kiman, Rav Nachman Rav Yossi. So either the first version says he's teaching us his din to be Mechadish that we pass like the Chachamim, or in the second version, the Ikedi Amrei, he's teaching us a din that we pass like Rav Nachman Rav Yossi. But that's the Chiddush of Rav, and therefore Rav, when he made the statement that when one witness comes, Teitze, when two witnesses come and told her that her husband died, Lo Teitze, that's what the case is talking about. Masav Rava, Rava still questions and he says, Minayin Shim Lo Rotza Dafno. How do we know that in the situation where the Kohen doesn't want to go and separate from a woman that he's not permitted to marry, that we force him to? Dafno means a Lashon Rashi says, Hiko. We allow to hit him, so to say. You force him, the Katsho Bal Korcho, and you follow the Pasuk of Kidashto, as we'll see in a second time below, with Kidashto, the Basin has an obligation to make him holy. So therefore, if the Kohen doesn't want to leave his wife that he's not allowed to be married to, we hit him. Dafno, even Bal Karcho, we force him to be holy, even against his will. Now, what is Rav's question on Rav from this Brisa? So he says, Hechidami, what are we talking about in this Brisa that we force the Kohen to go and leave his wife by even hitting him, beating him up, in order that we fulfill Bal Karcho, the mitzvah of Kidashto, that you have to make the Kohen holy, based on as an obligation to keep the Kohuna holy, and they can force this guy by physical punishment to go and divorce his wife. What's the case? Hechidami. Elam, if you're telling me the Lonisis Lechod Me'edela, if you're telling me that the two witnesses came and said that this is her husband and that he's not dead, after we had the two witnesses come and say that her husband died, Elema the Lonisis Lechod Me'edela, and we're talking here about where she didn't get married to one of her Edim, the Lokarma Barili, and or she didn't say that I'm certain that this is not my husband, so then, Tzricho Lememar to Dafno, would we need a brisa to tell us that we force the Kohen to not stay married to this woman, that there is no evidence that she's allowed to be married to him. We have two witnesses saying that her husband's alive, so of course we force him to go and get divorced from the first woman. She didn't marry one of the witnesses that said their husband died, and she's not barely, it's not her husband. She says, I don't know, it looks like my husband, I don't know. So in that situation, I wouldn't need a brisa to tell me that Basin has the power to dafto because of the pasuk v'kidashto. I wouldn't need a brisa to tell me that. Elalav, what Rava is telling us is, mustn't be talking about the Nises le'echa mi'edeha v'karma barley. We're dealing exactly with this situation, which Rav says, lo teitze. And yet this Brisa says, v'kotani dafno, that we've forced the husband to leave this second woman and beat him up. So in this situation, amo mavkino lo minei. Rav is wrong. This Brisa clearly is talking about a case where she married one of the witnesses, and she's certain that it's not her husband, and yet we don't follow Rav's ruling that lo teitze, but the Brisa says teitze. So therefore, Rav is wrong. Rav says, you have a Brisa going against Rav. So Rav says, no, Rav is okay, because this is a unique case. Isser kahuna shiny. Here there's a separate din of a kidashto. So by a Kohen, you're right. Even Rav would be molded to the Brisa that by a Kohen, we'd force the woman to leave her new husband, the second husband, because by a Kohen is an additional mitzvah of a kidashto. But if this was a Yisrael, Rav is correct in saying that lo teitze. Teretz number one. Vibay seima, teretz number two. What does it mean, the word dafno? We translate it as hiko. You take him behind the back of the basin and you beat him up. and force him to give the divorce. So he says, Rosani, yeah, I'm willing to give the divorce. I want to give the divorce. My dafno, what are we talking about over here? Dafno, it means dafno be'edim. What we do is we force him not to get married based upon the testimony of the two witnesses. And that's what we're talking about in this situation where the witnesses came first and then he got married to her. So in this situation, dafno be'edim, we force him to not get married l'chadchila in this situation. That's what the Rice is talking about. Not that she got married, but now we say that two witnesses say this is your husband, so do not get married to somebody else, even though you're saying, buriedly, even though you're saying it's not my husband, and even though you're going to marry one of the witnesses, we don't allow it in this situation. That's what the Rice is saying, but not that we force you. Not dafno means by force. We're strongly recommending to you in this situation that there are aid and say your husband's alive, so don't get married. But, in fact, if they did get married, so then we paskin, not like Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi, we would in fact say that the woman is allowed to stay. So the Bryce is giving us very good advice. Do not get married. But the bottom line is, we paskin like the Chacham against Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi, and if she did get married, we wouldn't say Tetzei. But dafno means don't get married in the first place. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, everybody say ma, kishubo edim v'yachachach nisays. Here we're talking the Braisa in a situation where the edim came first and only afterwards she got married. Oh, we in fact paskin like Rav Nachum Rav Yossi according to this Braisa. Rav Nachum Rav Yossi, and therefore this Braisa is Rav Nachum Rav Yossi, who says yes, tetzei in that situation. And where Rav had said his din, he was either paskin like the Chachamim against Rav Nachum Rav Yossi, or Rav said his din only in a case where she first got married and then the edim came, because he in fact agrees with Rav Nachum Rav Yossi, like the two versions that we had before. Okay. Another way to understand Rav is as follows. Until now, we've been trying to establish Rav as actually saying that lo tetzei, because we're talking about a situation where there were two witnesses that said that her husband died, but two witnesses that said that her husband's still alive, and she went and said, boriedly, that it's not my husband, and she married one of the witnesses, so there were no problems. Rav Ashi gives us a much simpler territory, which is the way we learned this originally, and that is Rav Ashi Amar, what does it mean, my lo tetzei, to come a Rav? When Rav said lo tetzei, it means lo tetzei mehetera rishon. When I originally read this, I said this opinion of Rav Ashi, and that is, when Rav says Lotetze, it wasn't talking about from the second husband. It meant from the first husband. She's still permitted to marry her first husband. The second husband, you're right, there's no marriage. The first husband is alive. So therefore, the second marriage was null and void. It never was a marriage. But when Rav is telling us here in this situation, if there were two witnesses that gave her the original heter to get married, so she's not considered an adulterous woman in this situation, and therefore she returns back to her first husband. This is like a woman, Rachmon Lusan, that got raped in the marriage. So as long as her husband's not a Kohen, she doesn't become psula to the husband in this situation. Her husband's Yisrael, so lo teitzei me'ater arishon. That's what Rav is telling us, lo teitzei. Now this is a great teretz, but the Gemara says, Omer Rav Chadazimna, Rav already taught this to us. Why would he teach it to us again? Where did Rav teach it to us? On our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that Nan, Nisa Shelo Bishuz, Muteres Latzulo. If she got married, quote, without Rishush, which we explained meant without the requirement to have a base in Paskin for her, because there were two witnesses, so our Mishnah had said, Mutu Lachso, she's Muteres Latzulo. She's allowed to go and stay married to her first husband, because she didn't do anything wrong, albeit she had relations with the new husband, but she's a Shogagas, and therefore a shogagis is allowed to return to her first husband. And Rav Huna Amar Rav said, this is in fact the halacha. So why would Rav tell it to us twice? He's telling it to us on the Mishnah, we pass it like this Mishnah, and now Rav is telling us, lo teitzei, it's the same thing. So when it says, no, Rav didn't actually say both of them. We said it on his behalf. One of the times, we said, yeah, that's what Rav said. Rav himself only said it once. Either he said it on the Mishnah, that which we brought down, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hochi Hilchusa, or Rav said it as an independent statement here, and one of the two Rav really said, and the other one is said that, yeah, that's what Rav had said, but Rav didn't himself make it, so therefore, it's not Rav telling it to us twice. That's the simplest way to understand Rav's statement. Now the Gemara tells us, Amar Shmuel tells us, Oshanu Elo Shalo Mechashto. When do we say that she has to leave the second husband, even if there was only an Eidechad? That's only if she doesn't disagree and say, that's not my husband. But Shmuel says, even if it's an Eidechad, Abu Mechashto, she says, that's not my husband, Lo Tetzei. She doesn't have to go and leave her second husband, because she says, that's not my husband. Shmuel says, what's Shmuel talking about? My Eskina. Ilema Beveitrei, if you're telling me that there were two witnesses that prove that the man is her husband, so then how does she have the right to say that that's not my husband? Ki mechashdalei, if she's saying that's not my husband, my havi, what difference does it make? it's two witnesses against her. So she doesn't have the right to go and argue against the two witnesses. Must be Elo Bechad. We must be talking about that there's only one witness comes along. And in that situation, Taimod de Mechashto, since she says that is not my husband, so she's believed against this one witness. Implication being, Hoshasko, but if she doesn't say anything, she says, I don't know if that's my husband or not, then in fact, Tate said, she'd have to leave. And on this, Vama Ula said, why do we believe her when she says, he's not my husband, it's one against one? So Ula tells us, Kamokom Shamina Torah Eidechad, whenever the Torah believed a single witness, as in this situation, where we believe a single witness say that her husband died, Hari Kanshnaim. So we view that halachically as if there were two witnesses that say her husband died. Now, when one witness comes along and says, this is her husband, Ein Dvarov Shel Echa B'machum Shnayim. So now this person, with her saying that that's not my husband, so this person who says, a single witness, that that's my husband, we don't believe him because it's as if there's two witnesses against him. That first witness that said that her husband died is counted as if he's two, and one doesn't go and defeat two. So that's what the Gemara says is Shmuel's understanding. Gemara now asks, Halacha b'Iskin, under what circumstances the Shmuel's didn't apply? That's Bepsuli Eidus. This is when the two witnesses that came along to say that this was the original husband are, in fact, not kosher Eidim. And this goes in accord with that which Rabbi Nechemiah said. What did he say? Rabbi Nechemiah, the Tanya, he learned in the following brisa, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Homokom Shehemino Torah Eid Echad, when the Torah gave a believability, a nemonis to Eid Echad, then Halech Acharov Deos. Then we follow by the numerical numbers. Whichever side has more, so then that's the side that wins. V'yosu shtei noshim b'ish echad, kishnei anoshim b'ish echad. In this situation, where they accepted a woman's opinion, so they said that these two women, when they're testifying against a single man, so they gave it the halachic validity. It was two men testifying against a single man, and the women are believed. So that's what the situation is talking about. Teretz number one. The boy saying, alternatively, when a single witness comes originally who's a kosher aid, so then, afilu meya noshim ki eidechod damyan. Then we view in that situation, since it's a kosher aid, then even 100 women against him are not considered 100 against one, like the first opinion would have said, but the second opinion would say that it's considered one against one. What are we talking about? If you go into Asya Ishmei Korah, that a woman came originally and said that the husband had passed away, and in this situation, and we would say that Rabbi Nechemiah holds as follows. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, when Rabbi Nechemiah said that when we gave an emunah to an ish echad, an eid echad, that we believe that single person, then we go by the majority, that's only in a situation of Asu Shtei Noshim B'Isha Achas. That's when you're dealing with women against women, Psulim against Psulim in terms of Eidos. So then you go by the majority opinion. However, in that situation, Asu Shtei Noshim B'Isha Achas Kishnei Anoshim B'Isha Echad. Then you go as if two women are two against one and the two will win. However, Avo Shtei Noshim B'Isha Echad, but if it was two women against one man, then you don't say, well, it's two against one. In that situation, you view it as if it's one witness against one witness, Kepalga Upalga Domi. So therefore, that's how Shmuel is to be understood according to the boy's aim. Mark continues in quotes, the nation said, Sricha get mizeh umizeh, that in the situation where she, Nebuch, is found that her husband is alive, so she needs a get from the first husband, that's midaraisa, and the question will be, why does she need a get from the second husband, that's not a real marriage, so why does she need a get at all? So Gemara says, Mishlamar mi rishon tiboy get, we understand why the first one needs a get. She was halachically midaraisa married to him, and was saying that they can't live together anymore, she wants to get married to somebody else. So she obviously needs a get, and she obviously needs a get. She's not his wife anymore. But the second husband, that marriage never took effect. She was a married woman. You can't give kedusha to a married woman. El Misheni Amai Zunus Bi Almuhu. Why does she need a get from him? It's an unfortunate situation. It's halachically called Znus. We're not saying that they're promiscuous people. We're not saying it in a pejorative way. But halachically, it's viewed as if it was an adulterous relationship, just Znus, and there's no kedusha involved. So why should she need a get from the second husband? So Amar Rav Huna says, Gezeira, this is a special Gezeira that the rabbis instituted here, because you know what? People are not going to know this. And they're going to think that the first husband gave a divorce, and now the second husband just walked away scot-free. Shema Yomar, people are going to say, Geiresh Zeh, the first husband gave a get, and then the Nasa Zeh, the second husband married her, and she walked away scot-free. But in the same she sees, below get. And that's a concern that the rabbi said. So therefore, say, get a get from the second husband. If that's true, the Gemara says, then the situation would be the same in the next case. Yochi Sefer, in the next case in the Mishnah, Diktani, it said, if the single witness told her that your husband died, and she only had kiddushin with the second husband, didn't have actual nisuin, so there was no isser involved, and then her husband comes back, in this situation, we should say as well, Muteres lachsulo, but hasam nami. Geresh zeh v'kidish zeh. Why don't we demand that she get a get from her second husband, even though she's permitted to her first husband because she never did an adulterous action? She just got married, the first stage of marriage, which didn't involve any isurim. It didn't take effect. But why don't we say over there that people are going to mistakenly say that the first husband gave her a get, and therefore that's why she got married to the second husband? So asam nami, name a gerish zeh, v'kidish zeh. Why don't we concern ourselves? We need to say she sees she also shall get. Now that she leaves the second husband without getting a get, people can make the same mistake. Someone says, no, la'olam ba'ya get. In that situation, we do require a get. So therefore, there's no stira. Or it says, wait a second. Ihachi, if that's the case, in this situation, the first husband, how can he take her back? The second husband gave a get. So this is a classical example of a machzir grushaso that's not allowed. If she got married to somebody else, he's not allowed to be machzir grushaso. So how is this allowed? So Gemara says, no. This goes like the opinion, Kirebi Yosi ben Kipar. This goes like his opinion, which is the Amar. He says, only minhanisuin, only is it forbidden to be masi grushoso, misha nis naso. Only after she had a full-fledged marriage, minhanisuin, asura. However, her erisin muteris. If it was only erisin, then Rabbi Yosi ben Kipar says, there's no problem to take back masi grushoso if it was only from erisin to the second husband. Gemara says, wait a second. But keep on going in that mission. It said in the Sefer, Afa P, and we turn to Pei Tesamad Aleph. Shenos San Lo Achron Get. Even though the second one gave her a get from the Kiddushin, Lo Poslo Ben Akuna. It doesn't possible from Kuna. That implies, Mechal, the Lo Boy Get, that it's not a real get, and she didn't need a get. Because the Boy Get, am I Lo Poslo Ben Akuna? If it was a real get, so then why wouldn't it possible from Kuna? So it's not a real get. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elaseifa Amri Kiddushi Tosabu. You're right. So the answer is, why doesn't she need a get from the second husband in the case where it was only Kiddushin? So then in that situation, it's Kiddushi Tos. It wasn't a real Kiddushin, and therefore no get is required. So then say the same thing in the Reisha. Reisha Nami Amri Nisui Tosabu. Even though it was a full-fledged Nisuin, but it was a mistake. So why do we need a get over there? It was a mistake. And if the Seifa is a mistake, so too the Reisha should be a mistake, and neither should require a get. So one says, no, the Reisha Kansur Rabbanan. In the Reisha, they made a Knas and said that she requires a get. In the Sefer, they didn't make such a Knas requirement. So one says, why not? Sefer Namelik Nesua. Why didn't they make a Knas requirement in the Sefer to get a get? Why only in the Reisha? So the Gemara gives an obvious teretz. Reisha of the Yisura. In the Reisha, she actually committed adultery, albeit, again, unintentionally and unknowingly, but she did a Maisa. She actually committed adultery. So therefore, they made a Knas, Kansua. However, Sefer, in the Sefer, she just did Kiddushin. She didn't do a Maisa of Isser. Therefore, the law of the Yisura, lo Kansura Bonin. Since no Isser was done, the rabbis did not institute a Knas in that situation. This is a good breakpoint. We stop the shiur today. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.